sitting for this tonight.
Take me a few
moments to get a little bit collected.
My name's Grant. I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Grant.
It's really good to be here tonight. Really good. Thanksgiving and in the last hour or two, I've been really thinking about how thankful I should be for this program, for the people in my life, and my life today. It's also a time where families get together, and I know my family is somewhat disjointed and not together. But AA now has become my family. The last 5 years, I've probably accumulated about 4 years of sobriety. But I've struggled. I've been in and out of these rooms. Today I have just over 15 months clean and sober. And the only way I knew how to do that was through you guys. I was asked to share on Thursday, and I refused. And I do that every once in a while in AA. And I'll say that because whatever, if I'm judging the room or what have you. But my story's got a lot of drugs in it, and that's what got me here. So sometimes I feel a little out of place trying to qualify. But I'm definitely an alcoholic, and that's because I say I am. Just to give you a bit of an... I'm 38 years old. I was born here in Montreal. I have one sister. I was adopted. So I was adopted at the age of 1 year old. When I was told this, at 5 or 6 or so, that was one of those secrets that I kept inside of me for the longest time. Shame, feeling less than. In fact, I never shared it with anyone until I was in my 20s. I was certainly the quiet one of the two, my sister and I. She's a year younger, and I was definitely the quiet one. And I guess as a child, there was some happy times, but there were also a lot of fearful times. I had a very, there wasn't any alcoholics in my family, but I had workaholics and autocratic. My father was very autocratic, very ruled with an iron fist. Came from England, so it was a different era, and corporal punishment was part of it. So there was a lot of fear growing up, and it seemed like a lot. There was a lot of commotion in the house, and a lot of chaos. So my idea of escaping was school. I was very privileged. I grew up in a middle-class family where my father and mother both wanted the best for me. So they put me through a private school. I went to school and did fairly well on the school side, on the academic side, but really excelled on the athletic side. And that carried me throughout high school. That was my crutch. My crutch was I was out of the house at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't get back until 7 o'clock in the evening. But by the time I was about 13 years old, is when I picked up my first drink. There were a lot of I don't know. I guess we had I had some Jewish friends that had their bar mitzvahs at that time at the age of 13, and there was a lot of free booze or booze, and it was, you know, everyone cliqued together, and we tried it, we all tried it out, but I really liked drinking right off the bat, and then I found out that I was pretty adept at it, pretty good at drinking, and and could show off my drinking talents by drinking with other people under the table. And it seemed like everybody at my school and all my friends were doing it. It was the old motto, drink hard, play hard. But it was only a weekend event throughout high school. There were some drugs, some marijuana that we used, but again, it was one of those, I liked it at first, but then after a while it made me paranoid and I didn't really like it anymore. But you know, sports and academics and just staying away from home was my idea of fun. But I think things changed. My parents got divorced when I was 12 years old, and now I became the man of the house. And up until that point, I never was the recipient of any of that, any of the corporal punishment that my father inflicted on others in the family. And I don't know if it was a sense of guilt or what have you. I was a good boy, but I also got away with a lot. Give an alcoholic a chance to get away with a lot, and you can go far. And that's what I did. I got away with a lot. I was driving by the time I was 15, so I had a car. And at that age, when you have a car, you're the man in high school. And so there was a lot of drinking and driving on the weekends. Seemed norm for the days, but I know now that I could have caused a lot of damage. I got through high school, and had the choice of going to further my education elsewhere, and I chose to go to London, Ontario, and that basically meant that, albeit there weren't not many rules for me at home, there were absolutely no rules when I arrived at this place. So that was my time to shine as an alcoholic. My first year at university, I'll just say that my first month, I was inebriated every single day. Every single day. Came time that I had my first exam, failed that because I showed up 8:30 in the morning on a Friday, drunk, just absolutely drunk. I laughed at the paper that was in front of me, scribbled my name on it, and I remembered that was the first time when I'd received the mark that I'd never, ever failed anything in my life before. Or at least, and that was pretty scary. So I didn't want alcohol to ever become an impediment to whatever dreams I had at that time. And it did. It continued to. But I got through university, and I got a pretty cool job. This was the type of person I was. I got a job here in Montreal, right out of the university, and within 8 months, the recession was hit hard, and I was given an opportunity for big bucks to show up in Toronto and work there. And for some reason, the job had fallen through just prior to me leaving. And but I didn't care. I took big risks, and this was my part of my makeup was taking big risks. And I said, okay, well, whatever. I still quit my other job. I went to Toronto in the height of recession with nobody, and just showed up there and lucked out. And within a week, I had another job. But you know, I just wanted to, I guess for me, the geographical cures started to happen. I wasn't happy at home, and so I thought Toronto might be the answer. In Toronto, I had had a great time. Great time. Actually, I was reminded the other day I had a dinner with a friend of mine who had partied a lot with in Toronto. And he was in town. Just I hadn't seen him in 5 years. And reminded me of all the... We had a lot of good times. I had got into a relationship with someone that was very successful. I was doing quite well myself. Most of my friends around me seemed to be doing quite well, and albeit they were starting to get married and plant some seeds in the ground and build a foundation. My foundation was a little rickety, I did have, you know, I accumulated some material things, and that money wasn't the problem, or it wasn't an issue in my life anymore. And I thought I was the toast of the town. We had an open door policy where people were coming in and out of our house on a regular basis. Every weekend, I'd find people sleeping in guest rooms and the floors and whatever. That was just the way it was for me. Lots of partying. But you see, I tended to, in my relationships, certainly attract people that were a lot like me, or almost exactly like me. But it's funny. I'd speak with some of my other hard drinking buddies, and we'd point out amongst our people that we knew who the alcoholics were. Oh, he's a real alcoholic, or she's a real alcoholic. You know, not pointing to ourselves, but or at least me, not pointing to me. Anyways, I seem to get involved in, or did get involved in, a number of very needy relationships. So they were unhealthy for me, that started to become a pattern. a couple things happened to me in Toronto. I'd taken some risks on some business deals, and some of them started to fall, crack. There are other high-risk deals, stock promoter by trade, so I get involved in whatever. Then I started doubling up, because all of a sudden now I'm in trouble. And I remember one time I was flying all over the world, and things were crashing all around me in the middle of my flights, and on the outside I was always a very calm, cool, collected, never showed emotion. Actually, to this day, still have a problem showing emotion. But that's what my facade was. Inside, I was still biting my nails. I was just a lot of turmoil inside with me. After these deals fell apart, I broke up with my girlfriend. All of a sudden, there's some self-pity, and I'm still drinking. I'm drinking on a fair bit, fair clip. But I had about 6 months where I had to start selling all the stuff that I had accumulated just to pay off debts, and things weren't going well. I guess I was into a bit of a depression, and my parents threw me the lifeline. My father had a business here, and said, "Why don't you come back here, and we'll get you set up in the business." And I came back with my tail between my legs, and started a new life here in Montreal. But this is where my alcoholism addiction really began. Up until that point, I could say that I managed, controlled. My life wasn't manageable, but the alcohol, from my perspective, seemed to be manageable. And again, I know this is an AA meeting, but I within 2 months of showing up here, I was feeling down, and I over the years I tried other drugs, and you know, I could take it, leave it, you know, the odd mushroom trip up north, that was fun. They were, you know, once a year or something like that. But I tried crack cocaine, and became an instant addict. I was given a company car, expenses, and within 6 months, my father was taking me by the ear and showing me the door. I was using the cards fraudulently, and after I'd spent all my money and everything that I had, I started doing some very dishonest things. And anyways, that quickly... I had this 6 month, right after that, I knew I had a problem, but I wasn't really ready to give in yet. I white knuckled it. It's a couple times in the summer months where I was still playing competitive golf, and this is another passion of mine that I put on the wayside while I was using it recently. But I still managed to white knuckle and not use at that time. And then a buddy of mine from university said, you know, he was coming up from South America, and he needed a place to stay. And so I said, why don't we get together and become roommates? Well, within 2 months of him coming here, I was using again. And this time I had no job. And I discovered pawn shops, and I started pawning all my stuff off, and then I started pawning his stuff off, and I don't think he appreciated that very much. And within a very quick period of time, I was out the door again. Now I was starting to hit bottom again. It was December. My parents were threatening to disown me, or at least my father was. My mother was a great enabler. She took me back in, and I'm sleeping on the couch or in the spare bedroom now. And it's January, and they're I remember maybe a month or two while I was there, I'd used, and it was really, really bad. I was starting to take the TV out of the room and pawn that off, and then come back and get it the next day, and then back in the pawn shop the following day, and it was just like just absolute mayhem. Anyways, I had a family intervention during this time too. They thought I was nuts, and I was. And they convinced a judge that I was too. So the cops showed up and strapped me to a gurney, and I was in the fourth floor of the psych ward for 4 days, trying to convince them that I'm not an alcoholic and not an addict. I did. They let me go. but it was a real, you know, I had no feeling at that time, nothing. I had no feeling. I didn't know what kind of what the consequences were of my actions. When I was using, I was tearing apart my parents, anyone in my life. I'd put on by the wayside. The phone was off the hook. I never answered anybody or talked to anybody. I became a total lone soldier in the quest to get high. And I used on the other side of town. It was a terrible, terrible place. This was my first bottom. And I had a few options. Well, I was threatened to get kicked out of the house, which is what needed to be done. But the only thing I couldn't pawn off at the time were my air miles, so I was thinking, okay, well, next geographic cure, I had tickets to go to Australia, and that's where I was going. It was middle of January. I wasn't going to hang out underneath a bridge. I'd rather do that in a warmer place. So that was my goal. But then my father also said, you know what, or you have the other option, if I'm going to disown you, or you go to a rehab. And I decided to take him up on that offer. I didn't go there. I said I went there willingly, but just like a true con, I conned the director there that I needed a couple days to get my affairs in order before I walked into there. Well, anyways, the night before I'd taken all the money out of my mother's purse and her Visa card, and went on another run. And these very nice policemen escorted me into the rehab. And anyways, that's how I got introduced to sobriety. That's how I got introduced, anyways, to AA. And what a breath of fresh air that was. Walking in, first of all, I walked in. I was 130 pounds. I hadn't eaten in a week. I hadn't slept in 4 days. Might have had a couple showers in there, but that's about it. I was a dead person inside out, financially, emotionally, physically. I was just completely beaten up. And The rehab was just, it was a breath of fresh air, because for the first time in my life, I had accumulated some time where, and it was feeling good too, of not drinking, not using. AA was forced upon me, I guess, through that. But you know what? I took to it right away. I knew I was in the right place. This is one of the first meetings that I used to come here to, not this meeting, but Tuesday Beginners in the same hall. And it was a regular meeting for us. And I love that the whole social aspect of fraternity, the everything from that perspective of AA. I used to schmooze in all the business deals. I was always sort of schmoozing here too. So albeit it was still putting on the facade, I recognized that there were a lot of people here that that were a lot like me. But I still didn't understand the steps. I certainly didn't understand that first step, being powerless. The day I walked out of there, I went out for another 8 months. But at least I knew the seed was planted and I knew where to go. I had hit another bottom, and the same tomfoolery, you know, trying to pawn bowling balls to pawn shops, and just stupidity. And then I remembered I went into another outpatient rehab. And after 2 months of being clean there, they suggested that maybe you might, you got a lot of spare time in the evenings, maybe you might want to go back to AA. And at first I fought it, and then I said, you know what, nah, forget it. Just go to one meeting and see what happens. And I was 2 months clean, and I came to this meeting here, Tuesday Beginners, and it was a full meeting. There was 120 people in here. I don't remember the speaker, but I do remember I just walked in. I was walking in late. The meeting hadn't begun yet, but it was just about to. And the two tallest guys in the room, Mayan and Bruce, and they both saw me. They were both part of the my rehab before, and big smiles on their face, and they're really happy to see me and really welcome me back. And for, if it wasn't for that, I don't know. I don't know if I would be here or not. But because of that, that night I took a beginnership. I knew it had been suggested to me before, 90 meetings, 90 days. And so I said, you know what? Okay, let's give it a shot. I don't want to be using and drinking anymore. The next night I went to where I thought was a meeting out in Montreal West. And the whole place was boarded up, and I hadn't been there in a year. And so I'm going, oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do now? Anyways, two other people showed up at the same meeting where they thought there was a meeting. And it had been closed, I guess, for about 6 months. And we piled into this one fellow's car and phoned the intergroup and managed to find where they had relocated. And actually, that person today is my sponsor, and that's you know, at one point I used to think that there are a lot of coincidences in this program, but there aren't. There aren't. In my mind, everything happens for a reason. Anyways, I got onto a pink cloud and went to a lot of meetings, met a lot of people, made a lot of friends, and started to build a foundation for myself in the program and in the rooms. After 6 months, things started to, they were getting better, and so I started going back to work. Not a 9-to-5 job, mind you. I had to do things my own way. And within a few months, I was in a bad business deal again, and I starting to see a little pattern here. Anyways, I was all stressed out. I remember I was at a sober dance. I had a couple sleepless nights, maybe at about 8 or 9 months. I was all stressed out because of work. I still wasn't taking care of myself. I went to this sober dance and all this stuff. Anyways, whatever. There was lots going on that evening, but I didn't get much sleep. I had about 3-4 hours sleep. Went to the Legion the next morning. Had about 16 cups of coffee. Actually, 6 or 7 cups of coffee. Probably a half a pack of smokes before walking into the meeting. And I had a seizure right after the meeting. I had a full grand mal seizure. Thank God I was there because I was held up by other members. Guy was sticking something out. Anyways, I ended up waking up in emergency. Don't remember anything that happened during that day. And I was overhead, two members overlooking me. And I thank God for that. But my sponsor suggested maybe we should start doing our steps at that point. And so that's what I did. I really, really struggled. After that, I'd struggled physically, and was not in real good shape at all for the next 2, 3, 4 months. But I started doing the steps. The first time around the steps, I don't say it was a half-assed effort, but it, in hindsight, and in fact, I told my sponsor at the time, maybe I wasn't as truthful or as honest as I could have been, but I think I was as honest as I could have been at that time. Things started to get better. But again, like I said, I struggled. And after a year and a half of sobriety, I was still going to a meeting a day, and it's not because I didn't go to meetings. I think it's because I just really didn't get that first step. And then I started, my life started, and they say that, people plan their slips. Well, maybe I was doing it subconsciously, but I certainly wasn't doing sober things prior to my slips. And I went out again. And they say it gets worse when you go out, and it absolutely did. I was within 2-3 months in absolute, I was destitute again. I was in a terrible, terrible place. So there I was, back off to rehab again. And this time it was Foster's. And like a true alcoholic or addict, I showed up at Foster's in the worst shape possible. Like one of them. I walked in and there was an AA member who I knew had known in the rooms. He was also a counselor, and he said, "You look like shit." That was the first words that somebody had said to me. I knew it. This is a very insidious disease, at least from my perspective. It'll kill me if I go out again. One of my slips, now this is why I think I can't drink alcohol. That first year and a half of sobriety, I had harbored the thoughts in the back of my head where I could drink again. Take it or leave it, that's the way my attitude was at the time. But I knew that wasn't the case. One time in midsummer, when I was almost, I thought my life was back on track and things were seemed to be fairly normal, whatever normal is. I had a couple of glasses of port at some function somewhere, and with a suit and tie on, I was on my way to a crack house. I'd gone from wherever I was to. In a half an hour or an hour, and that's why I call myself an alcoholic. I can't drink. This last year has been quite a roller coaster. I mean, my sponsor always says, I don't want to try and get sober again. It's so difficult to get sober. It is unbelievably difficult. That first few months. And I don't know if I have that in me anymore. These days, my life is tremendous compared to where I was a year and a half ago. I've had a few things in my my life that that have changed. I on my last slip, I had again not paid my landlord, and I had had to go to at zoo court to deal with the landlord issues. And anyways, one thing led to another. I moved out and back into my mother's place. And within that time, she was also diagnosed with some very serious illness. And I'm grateful that I'm sober now, because I'm certainly able to take care of her today. That's what I'm doing. I'm working on a part-time basis. I still have my issues on that front to battle with, but it's all about me being sober today. And I had a great summer. I'm partaking in a lot of fun things that I used that I used to do, things that I put up by the wayside 5-6 years ago. And it's been a great blessing. I mean, there are a lot of times, I know, it's just been a really, really good summer in that way. I'm coming up on 15 months. This is about the time where I start to get a little squirrely. And I have been a little squirrely in the last 2-3 months. And I know it. And I still go to a lot of meetings. I'm the GSR for this group. I do a lot of service. I go to a lot of meetings. I was at a convention on the weekend. There's a lot of... I need to be around people that are sober. And especially now, because my mind will tell me that, you know what, it's okay, why don't you go out for one blast, and or why don't you do this, or why don't you do that, and you can always come back to AA. And that was a thought for mine for the last few years. There's always AA. I'll show up there again tomorrow. The last time I thought that, I nearly died. And I have to absolutely remember the consequences of my actions. It's not just picking up one drink. For me, one drink or whatever leads to... I may as well hand in everything that I have, all my relationships, the keys to my car, the everything. Everything goes. I've built up a lot of I won't say self-esteem, but self-worth. That's back in my life. There's a lot of times where I thought I don't deserve things. And so I've had this this feeling that or this certainly the self-destructive feeling, where there's a lot of self-loathing for other things that I've done in the past or how I am today. And I know that if I just stick close to the fellowship and let people know that things are not 100%. Then I know that I'll have all the support that I need. If you're new or if you are struggling and you don't relate to my story, please, there's hundreds of other meetings to go to. You'll find a story that you can relate to, or somebody that you can relate to. It's so important, I think, that to, you know, they talk about sponsors and what have you, but just find somebody that you can speak to and let them know where you are in your head. Because if you don't, I know that self-will will take me out there. And I'm grateful for all the people in these rooms that have helped me along. So I'll be honest. That's it for me this evening. Thanks.